We're back in our study in Luke. We're in the first chapter still, and we're going to be in the first chapter for a couple more weeks probably. But let me just recap for those that have been in Awana and haven't been able to be in the auditorium with us as we studied. Let me just recap what we've talked about so far. We've talked about Gabriel, the angel's visit to Zacharias, to tell him that he and his wife Elizabeth, who were old and well past the age of childbearing, that they were going to have a baby boy, that they were to name him John, that he was going to be great in the sight of the Lord. He was going to turn many in Israel back to the Lord, and he was going to go before the Messiah and prepare the way. We talked about how Zacharias didn't believe him, and he was struck dumb until the little baby, not able to speak, until the little baby boy, John, the one we know as John the Baptist, was born. And then we talked about the same angel, Gabriel, visiting Mary and how she was going to conceive and bring forth a son, and she was to call his name Jesus. He was going to be the Son of the Highest. He was going to sit on the throne of David forever. He, in effect, was going to be the Messiah. And, of course, Mary asked the question, how can this be? I've not known man. And Gabriel told her it's going to be the work of the Holy Ghost. And he said, by the way, your cousin Elizabeth has conceived a child, and she's in her sixth month. We talked about Mary going to visit Elizabeth, and the fact that when she walked in and said hello or made her salutation to Elizabeth, that John, Elizabeth's baby, who was still in the womb, leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth's blessing on Mary. And the understanding that she had before Mary even told her about her visit with Gabriel, the understanding that Elizabeth had that Mary was going to mother the Christ child, was going to mother the Messiah. So we start tonight in verse 46. And we're going to talk about what Mary said on this occasion. After Elizabeth had blessed her and asked the question, why should the mother of our Lord come to visit me? Blessed are you, Mary, for believing what the angel told you. We're going to talk about what Mary said after that, and it really wasn't a reply to what Elizabeth said. It was Mary's praise to the Lord. If you remember, when Gabriel came to her and said, hey, you're going to mother the Messiah, what she said at that point was, well, if that's how God wants me to use, how God wants to use me, so be it. So be it. Be it according to your word, she said. And it was like, you know, her emotions weren't released yet. It wasn't until she got in the presence of Elizabeth, who God had worked a miracle in her life, in having her conceive a child, and Elizabeth had acknowledged her at the presence of the Lord and called her the mother of the Messiah. It was really then that I think Mary couldn't contain her emotions anymore. She just had to let loose in her praise for God about what God was going to do or was doing in her life. And again, I told you last week, I think the conception by the Holy Spirit happened immediately. And when she went into the presence of Elizabeth, she was already pregnant. And Elizabeth was told that by God and made the pronouncement, the blessing that she did on Mary. And so I think Mary was with somebody that understood how God had worked and didn't have to worry about somebody thinking that she was crazy. She just said, I just got to praise the Lord. And in verses 46 through 55, that's what she does. And I think this is an apt or a suitable passage of Scripture to have on the night before Thanksgiving, because the things that Mary mentions as she praises the Lord are things that each one of us can also, in a different context, but the same truths apply in our life and should motivate us to just let loose, as she does in these verses, and just praise the Lord for who he is and what he has done in our life. So look at verse 46. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. Her soul, her inner being, who she was, everything she is, says, my soul, everything that I am, just my complete being magnifies the Lord. Now, when you magnify something, you make it bigger. You have a magnifying glass. You look through that magnifying glass, it makes the object that you're looking at bigger. God doesn't need to be magnified in himself. I mean, he is already vast. He is already everything. He is already the I am, as he told Moses. But what Mary was saying, in my soul, with my soul, I magnify the Lord. I want to magnify him and make him look bigger to others so that they can see who he is, so that they can see what he's done, so that they can see that he truly is the I am. And again, when you think about that, what God told Moses when Moses asked, who should I tell Pharaoh sent me? God said, tell him the I am sent you. I am, and fill in the blank, I am everything. That's what God was saying. I am everything you need. I am everything that there is. There's nothing that I'm not. I am, and again, you fill in the blank. And Mary says, my soul does magnify the Lord. I want, and God doesn't need to be magnified in himself. He needs to be magnified in the sight of others so that others can see who he is and what he's capable of doing. In verse 47, she goes on, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Now, our spirit is that part of us, body, soul, and spirit. The body is the shell that people see when they look at us. Our soul is who we are. It's our essence. It's our being. Our spirit is that part of us that communes with God, that has a relationship. You know, when the Bible says, hey, test the spirits, if we both have a spirit that is in harmony with God, then the spirits that we have with each other are going to be in harmony. And so she says, my spirit, that part of me that communes with God, she says, hath rejoiced in God my Savior. My spirit has joy. The joy that Paul speaks about later, that's unspeakable and full of glory. A joy that's not determined by circumstance. A joy that we can only talk about. A joy that we cannot describe completely. I mean, I don't have enough words. You don't have enough words to describe for somebody else the peace and the joy that we have in Jesus Christ. We can talk about it. I can talk about it. You can talk about it. But there's no way we're ever going to describe it in total. And so Mary says, my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. That unspeakable joy that we have in Jesus Christ. Verse 48. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. Here she goes on to say, here's why I want to magnify the Lord. Here's why I want to make him look bigger to other people. Here's why I have that joy unspeakable and full of glory in my spirit. She says, here's what she's saying. I'm nobody. I'm nothing. I'm a slave. Remember last week, or the week we talked about when Gabriel talked to her. She says, I'm a slave. I'm a bond slave of Christ. I've offered my body as a living sacrifice to the Lord. But in me, in my being, in myself, there's nothing worthy for God's attention. There's nothing worthy for God to regard me. But God, in his grace, regarded my low estate. In his grace, he chose me. He chose me to mother his son. And again, she says, for all generations, people are going to call me blessed, not because who I am, but because who God is and because what God has done in me. All generations shall call me blessed. You see, Mary had a unique role in the plan of God. She would be the vessel that God would use to bring his son into the world and to bring the salvation that God desires and wants for every person. She would be the vessel by which that salvation through his son would come. She would mother and care for Jesus as a baby. She would mother and love him as a child, as an adult, as a man. And God would use Mary to teach him and to love him and to comfort him. How blessed she was to have this unique role in God's plan for mankind. Look at verse 49. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things. I'll save the last part for just a minute. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things. She is echoing what Gabriel told her when he announced that the child that she was going to have was going to be the work of the Holy Spirit. You remember? He said, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. God can do anything and everything that he wants. He is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. He is almighty. And that omnipotent, all-powerful, mighty God, Mary says, has done great things for me. The God that can do anything, the God that's nothing impossible for, he for me as an individual, Mary was talking for herself, as an individual, God has done great things for me. Now listen, every single one of us can have has that same testimony. Not in the same way that Mary had, but every single one of us has that same testimony. I, every single person here has a unique place in God's plan. Nobody else can do exactly what God created for you to do in his kingdom. Nobody. Nobody. No Christian should ever say, well, I can't do this. I won't do this. God will get somebody else to do it. He may get somebody else to do it, but they won't do it in the way that he made you to do it. You and I have a unique place in God's plan. We don't deserve it. We're like Mary. I mean, if we're honest with ourselves, we're nothing. We're nothing. But God regarded us just like he did Mary. He paid attention to our low estate. He's chosen us. He saved us. He has a work for us to do. He's filled us with the Holy Spirit to empower us to do that work. And if we think about those things, if we think about the fact that we were nothing and God chose us and saved us and filled us and wants to use us, then we ought to say the same thing that Mary said, and we ought to mean it. My soul, everything that I am, doth magnify the Lord. He doesn't need to be, I don't need to make him bigger. I can't make God any bigger. But he needs, I need to lift him up. I need to put the magnifying glass of my life on him so that others through me can see how big God is. Amen. Can see what kind of God we have. See what God can do. And we need to have that same joy in our spirit, that part of us that communes with God, the same joy, unspeakable, full of glory joy that Mary had, because God has done the same thing for each of us. Now look at the last part of verse 49. And holy is his name. Holy is his name. That word holy, Adam talked about it Sunday night. It means to be set apart. It means to be special. It means like no other. And again, in our Sunday school lesson, we've been talking about what the word name means. It's just not the title. It's just not what you call another person. In the Bible, when the word name is used, it's everything about that person. It's everything that that person is. And what Mary was saying is, my God is holy. He is different. He is special. There is no other God like him. Jesus would say it later as he taught his disciples to pray. Hallowed be thy name. Holy is thy name. Set apart is thy name. Special is that is the Lord's name. The name of no other name on earth measures up to the name of God. His name is above all names. Look at verse 50. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. Again, mercy is not getting what we deserve. All of us as human beings, because we're born with a sin nature and that sin nature turns into sin, we deserve hell. We deserve death. We deserve separation from God. But God's mercy saved us from that punishment. And it's extended to all generations. His mercies are new every morning and are extended to every person. Verse 51, he has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. God has shown strength to those that oppose him. The proud in the imagination of their hearts. Those that lift themselves up and defy God. Those that lift themselves up and in their pride say, I don't need God. I don't need God to do anything for me. With his strength, God's strength, he has scattered them. That's what he did to Satan when he kicked him out of heaven. When Satan in his pride tried to lift him up and sat where God sat. With the strength of God's arm, he cast him from heaven. Verse 52, he hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. Those that rule, those that think they are mighty, that sit on their seats, the thrones, their earthly thrones that they sit on, God can put them down as easy as he set them up. We talked about Nebuchadnezzar. He thought nobody could put him down. And yet God said, oh yes, oh yes. You're in my hands. I set up kings. I take down kings. And he takes the powerful down and he lifts up those powerful people have tried to oppress. Verse 53, he hath filled the hungry with good things and the rich he hath sent empty away. Those that are hungry will be filled. Not just physically. Yeah, physically, God will provide our needs. He'll provide the physical food that we need to exist. But more important than that, he fills the hungry, those that are hungry for righteousness, he fills them with righteousness. He fills them spiritually. Those that hunger to know him, he fills. And those that think they are rich, those that don't think they need God, those that think they don't need anything, are like the rich young ruler that came to Christ and asked, what must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus said, well, you got to keep the commandments. He said, all those I've kept from my youth up. And Jesus said, go sell what you got. Give it to the poor. Then come follow me. And the Bible says that rich young man went away sorrowful because he had much. The rich who think they have everything they need one day will realize how empty their lives are apart from Christ. Verse 54, he hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. Let me just go ahead and read 55. As he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. He has helped his people. He has defended his people. He has lifted up his people, the chosen of Israel, his servants. He remembered the mercy that he promised to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob and down through the generations for his seed forevermore. God has kept that promise. And Mary knew that God was about to keep the most precious promise that he made, the promise of the Messiah, the promise of his son. And he was going to use her to keep that promise. And again, as I think about this, how could Mary not praise the Lord? How could she not say these things about her God? And then I think, how can we hold our praise back? How can we stop from saying the same thing? My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit has a joy that's full of glory and unspeakable. These 10 verses, some Bible scholars have called it the most magnificent cry of joy that has ever issued from a human breast. And I think at this time of year, at Thanksgiving time of year, especially at this time of year, we need to listen to Mary and we need to follow her example. We need to magnify the Lord. Glad you were here tonight. Again, I hope you all have a blessed Thanksgiving tomorrow. Just remember, be thankful. Be thankful. And thank those. You're going to be with some folks tomorrow, in all likelihood, that you have a reason to be thankful to. You ought to take the opportunity to let them know that you're grateful. Let them know that you thank them for the role that they played in your life. Let's stand together. We'll have a word of prayer. be dismissed.